Thanks for tuning in to the LMC Youth and Young Adults podcast. This recording was taken during our summer camp. We hope that it blesses you, and if you want to know more about our youth or young adults ministries, please go to lmc.org.au.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Mate, what an honour to be here. I was just saying to Cam Bannard just before, this probably has to be one of my favourite places to preach ever. And to be honest with you, as I'm getting older, I look for people with energy. Mate, the amount of energy that you guys have through worship and all that kind of stuff, I feel 10 years younger. I know I don't look like it, but I feel like it. And this is how I know that I'm getting old, is when I walked in this room and that bass was pumping, like everything inside me was like going boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I can handle this anymore. So I'm going to try my very best to fit in. Can I just ask a quick question? Can everyone see my face with a hat on? Yeah, cool. So one time I preached at a church and my hat was down here and it was like I was looking at people through the shadows. I just don't want to do that with you tonight. Who's excited for camp this weekend? Come on. I'm super excited about what the Lord wants to bring to you guys. I'm super excited about the topic that we're going to go through this weekend. I just want to put a caveat out there. Listen, I used to be cool. I'm not really that cool anymore, all right? You kind of hit this age where you just like, you try to dance and all that kind of stuff, and young people are looking at you going, you know, what are you doing? I'm not here to try to bring you a cool message, all right? I'm not here to try to entertain, even though we're going to have heaps of fun, right? The Apostle Paul says this: I didn't come to you with words of eloquent wisdom, but I came to you in a demonstration of spirit and power. And that's actually what the Christian life is. It's a demonstration of spirit and power. And here's the reason why. There are so many people who are going through incredibly hard stuff. You know, when I was a kid, I literally had nothing to worry about at all, except for like eating food and just playing soccer. Honestly. It was awesome. I had such a great childhood. What I see at the moment, though, is a whole generation that is being assailed and, in my opinion, assaulted by the enemy, and it comes to you with so many avenues. Social media, TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. These are all the ones that I know. I know there's so much more. And the reality is that you guys are facing things that I literally never faced when I was a young kid. Like, I grew up with the internet, but it seems like you guys are growing up in the internet. And you have people, like, if I wanted someone's opinion on something, I'd just go ask my silly mate who knows nothing about stuff. Mate, what do I do with girls? And be like, oh, no, throw rocks at them. I'm like, all right, sounds like a good idea. Sounds like a few of you guys have taken that wisdom too. But these days, there could be someone across the world who is screaming their opinion at you. 24 hours a day. You get home and you open up social media and you're reading comments from people. You don't even know who they are. And they may be saying things to you that may bring death to you. As Maddie said before, I've literally got nothing to bring you guys except God's word. And I'm one of those guys who just believes that God's word works. I don't think it actually goes out of date. In fact, I think what we need more than ever in the church is to get back to God's word. Now, I know that sounds like a really awesome thing to say, but here's why. If we don't get back to God's word and God's wisdom, then we are continuously, as a generation, walking in paths of death. And I can't stand it when I see young people who are suffering from anxiety and depression, identity crisis, and being alone. As we were worshiping before, and I'll get into the message in a second, I just want to preface it with this. As I was worshiping before, I actually felt like I just had a few words for people. Is it okay to share it with you guys? Yeah? There's a brother back there. I don't know where you are now. You're back there with a gold circle and you got glasses. There you go, bro. I felt like God just wanted to tell you, man, and you can take this or leave it, so please just test it out. But I felt like God just wanted to say that you're searching for him, you're wanting to feel him, you're wanting to look for him. He actually sees that, and he sees the sincerity of your heart, and he knows what you've gone through and the hard things that you've gone through as well, and he is so ready to meet you, and he wants to show himself to you throughout this camp as well. Now, I don't know you. I'm assuming that you're a leader or you're a young adult. You look older than 14, so, which is great. But yeah, I just felt like the Lord just want to tell you that he sees you, and he's so willing to meet you, man. And there's another brother here with a black shirt. It says M-U, Moore. It says Moore. What was your name, bro? Mitch. I felt like the Lord just wanted, these are just words of encouragement. I feel like the Lord just wanted to tell you, he's given you that heart and love for people. And it's actually something that you don't need to guard. It's actually something that he wants to cultivate in you. And he loves that. All right. And there's also one person here, and this doesn't take particular prophetic gift or anything like that. There's one person here who I feel like is a lady, a young woman. Whether it's your life or the relationship you've been in, you feel pretty fragile at the moment, and you feel like someone's just literally torn up your soul and your emotions. And a large part of that is because you're not solid in your identity. You're not solid in who you are in Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you, the Lord's going to meet you this weekend, and he's going to confirm that identity that he has for you, and you will not compare yourself to anyone else. In fact, you won't want to be anyone else but yourself. Okay? Because what we're talking about this weekend is probably one of the greatest truths that we can touch on. We're going to go through things like identity. We're going to go through things like the fact that you're part of a family, you're a child of God. We're going to go through things like you have gifts from God. And these things are going to solve one of the biggest pandemics that we're going through at the moment. Does anyone know what that pandemic is, apart from, it's not COVID, it's another one? Does anyone know what the pandemic is? Yell it out to me. There's only one right answer, by the way, so I'm just kidding. Identity, yep. Anything else? Sin, of course, every generation. Anything else? Persecution. Do you know what one of the number one things that people are suffering from across the world at the moment? Yep. And largely that is because, so someone said depression, anxiety. Largely that is because people are lonely. Did you know that we have like an epidemic of loneliness across the world? There was, in UK, they actually nominated or appointed a person who was to be the appointed person minister for loneliness itself. In UK, and actually they're starting to, as of 2018, they were in discussions to start to appoint someone in Victoria in the government to be a minister of loneliness. This means that they recognise the fact that across the world, in a socially connected, social media connected generation, people are suffering with loneliness. So much so that they have to appoint someone to make sure that they have programs and initiatives and things like that so that people don't feel like that their life is a waste. Does anyone else find that crazy? I find that crazy, man. And so what do we do? What do we do with young people? You know what's so insane? When I was a kid, I just wanted to be alone. All my friends were annoying me. You know, I had my brother. You know, everyone would just try. You know, I wanted to be alone. But right now, there's kids who feel like they're deceived in their thinking that they're connected, who have absolutely no one to reach out to and no one to talk to. And they're young kids. Is that not crazy? Well, here's the thing. What we're going to look at tonight is we're going to look at God's antidote for loneliness. We're going to look at God's truth around what it means to be a child of God. So have you guys got your Bibles with you at all? Open it with me to Romans 8, 12 to 17. And we'll go from there. How many people still use the paper Bible? Brilliant. So good. How many of you love the digital Bible, like on your phones and stuff? Awesome. We'll pray for you guys later on. All right, so Paul here written to the Romans. He says in chapter 8 here, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh." I'm starting from verse 12. "To live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God," everyone say Spirit, "of God, are sons and daughters of God." You can put the word daughters in there as well. Everyone say for me, sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you will receive the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." That word Abba there in the original Greek is a really intimate way of saying Father. Look, English is actually my second language. I was born in Fiji. And apparently when I was a young kid in Fiji, in the house in Fiji, I used to just run around and I just had too much energy. I still kind of have a little bit of energy that left. But when I was young, I had a lot of energy and I was just getting into everyone's business. But apparently the way that I used to talk to my dad was I used to call him Papa. Is anyone else from an ethnic family at all? They call their parents that at all? Yep. The word Papa is kind of like what this word is saying, Abba Father. It's like an intimate way of saying Dad. And actually when I came to Australia, I switched it from Papa to Dad because it just sounds a little bit more acceptable here kind of thing. So it says here that you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons by whom we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself, which is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This truth that I just spoke to you guys right now, and we're going to unpack it throughout the whole weekend, is literally the antidote of you guys suffering loneliness. Because in here, the words children of God, sons and daughters of God, those who belong to God, Abba Father, we cry out Abba Father. All this language here shows that you guys are all in a family. Now, it's crazy because every time I say you are children of God, inevitably when I talk to Christians anywhere that I preach, and I say things like, you're a child of God, everyone's like, yeah, I get it. But the reality is, we're going to go deep into what it actually means to be a child of God because it will actually free you from the bondages of loneliness, identity crisis, which is what's going on in the world at the moment amongst younger people. It's going to cure you from things like insecurity. How many people, and you don't have to put your hands up here, how many people, especially when you're in young age, like this age you're at the moment, so much of it is comparing with other people and making sure that you fit in. So much of it is. And it's crazy because when I was a young kid, all I wanted to do was fit in. I tried to be friends with absolutely everyone. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because innately, I just wanted to belong. You know, I'm an immigrant kid, come to Australia. I didn't move to Dandenong or Keysborough where there was heaps of other people that looked like me. I moved to Ringwood East, which is probably the widest suburb in Victoria. Matt lives in Ringwood East, by the way. I wanted to belong. And you know what? When you don't know what your true identity is, when you don't actually know that you're a child of God, and when you don't actually know who you are in your spirit, you end up doing silly things just to fit in. I got caught up with a lot of people that didn't do great things. And the reason why I got caught up with that is because I didn't truly know who I was, and I wanted them to accept me because of this deep longing to belong. Now I have to look back at things that I've done. I thought, why did I do that? And the reason why is because I didn't understand this first, that I'm an actual child of God. You know, in a group this size, there's always going to be people who come from a pretty tough background, family background. And when I say things like this, that God is your father and that you belong to him, it's going to conjure up some pretty bad stuff for you, right? I've talked to plenty of young people who've come from pretty rough backgrounds and I say, God is your father. And they're like, well, I don't really have a good example of a father growing up. You know, you might have had a great father. You might have had great parents who showed you amazing, amazing love, who took you to church, who taught you things, who gave you things. But then there might be people who maybe have been neglected or abused or anything like that. And this thought of God being your father, you're kind of like, I'm not sure if I really like that. I've told you guys that I'm from an ethnic family, right? So my dad is, it's a combination where I respect him heaps, I love him heaps, but I was also kind of afraid of him when I was younger. So whenever I got in trouble, like I pushed my brother into a door and it created a hole, I just run, right? Because parents from Fiji, they don't just give you time out, they like chase after you, right? So he's an awesome dad, obviously, right? But there's certain things in it when we grow up that we put onto Father God, whether it's good or bad, but we put onto Father God. And sometimes I put on Father God that when I stuff up, that he's angry with me and he wants to chase me, right? I had a great childhood, by the way, guys. So I'm just saying that. Sometimes I put onto God things that aren't necessarily from Scripture, but my own experience. And I want to challenge you this weekend. To understand that you belong, we have to understand the Father as he really is. And I would ask you to pray to God this weekend. I would actually implore you to pray to God this weekend that he would show you what he's truly like. You know, when God reveals little pieces of himself to me in prayer and when I'm reading the word, he's actually way better than what I thought he was. Even better than every human father that I have seen or observed, he's way better than what I thought he was. You know, I got a lot of revelation of God being the father, Abba Father, when I became a father. You know, my son is like the spitting image of me when I was younger. He's just as cheeky. He's got just as much energy, and now I know how my dad feels, but I don't have the luxury of chasing him down the road. I love him so much, and I would do anything, and I would lay my life down for him. And you know, there's sometimes that Levi does stuff, that's my son, where I'm just like, even though you've annoyed me so much, I would still lay my life down for you. I would move heaven and earth for you, and then God speaks to me and says, yeah, well, that's how I feel about you. Do you know that he loves you? No, I really mean, just take some time with me for a second. Do you know that he actually loves you? Like, do you know he's not angry at you? Do you know he actually enjoys spending time with you? Even that 5-minute prayer that you give to him before school or before church or during church or worship. Do you know he cherishes that? Here's another way of putting it. Do you know he doesn't just love you? Do you know he's in love with you? Do you know before he puts his head down on his pillow in heaven with his clouds as pillows, he thinks about you? You see, when I was younger, that sort of stuff was corny to me. But now that I'm older, I recognize how important those truths are to me. He is your Abba Father. Now, to understand children, we need to understand a promise that God made to a guy named Abraham. Do you guys know who Abraham is? Yep. So if you got your Bibles with you, just turn back with me to Genesis 15. Abraham was a Middle Eastern guy. 4,000 years ago, he existed. And God called him out and he made an agreement, an arrangement with him. And in chapter 15, I'll just read from verse 1 to the end of verse 6. It says this: "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." But Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless?" So Abraham and Sarah were old at this point, at about 90 years old, and they didn't have a child. And God made an agreement with Abraham and said this: "I'm going to give you a child that is going to be a complete miracle. And this child will come even though you're about 99 years old." Now, how many know when you get to about 99, it's pretty hard to have a child? So the Lord appeared to Abraham again. Now, he appeared to him first in chapter 12, but he appeared to him again in chapter 15, and he said this. Abraham said, "Behold, you haven't given me a child yet, no offspring. A member of my household will be heir. But behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said this: This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven, number the stars. If you are able to number them," then he said to them, "so shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted on him as righteousness. When Romans talks about that you guys are children of God, and that the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit that you're a child of God, you have to understand it's in the context of this promise that God made to Abraham. Do you know the reason why you guys are here today, tonight, to listen to this sermon and to worship Jesus, is because God has fulfilled his promise to Abraham? Did you know that? 4,000 years ago, God made a promise to Abraham and said that you are going to have children. Abraham was thinking about just one child. And God said this: "Step outside of your tent." Now, Abraham lives in a desert, right? So imagine zipping up the tent, stepping outside at night. When you look up, what do you see? Millions and millions of stars. And God said this: "You, at 99 years old, have not had a child yet. But guess what? See these stars, see these amazing, vast stars. As many stars are in the sky, that's how many children you're going to have." Now, you think about it. What do you think Abraham thinks at that point? He hasn't been able to have one. He's been trying for decades. He hasn't been able to have one. But God said, "I'm going to give you millions and millions and millions of children." In fact, he said, "I'm going to give you so many children, it's going to come from they're going to be different nations that come from you." Abraham, every single night, had to go outside and remind himself that God was going to give him sons and daughters. And yet nothing. Now think about what he saw. Have you guys got it? Can you put the picture of the stars up? That's okay. He's out there looking at these stars and the lights in the black sky. And this is a prophetic vision of what God was going to do when he established a new covenant that exists today. You see, when Jesus came to earth, he actually established the promise that God made to Abraham. And he said this: "If you believe in my name, you will be born again. And when you're born again, you will truly become sons and daughters of God." Now, let me break that down for you, all right? The land of Israel, because they came from Abraham, thought that they were sons and daughters of God, the nation of Israel. But Paul later says in the book of Romans that just because you were born as a Jew, just because you're born in Israel, doesn't actually make you a true son and daughter of God. So the question you've got to ask yourself is, what makes me a true son and daughter of God? And the answer is this: when Jesus met with Nicodemus in the Gospels, I'm not sure if you know this story, he was a high priest of Israel. And Nicodemus said to me, "What shall I do to inherit the kingdom of God?" And Jesus says, "You have to be born again to inherit the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus said, "Look, I can't crawl back up into my mother's womb and be born again. What do you mean by that?" And Jesus says this: "You are the priest of the most high priest of Israel, and you don't understand how you get into the kingdom of God." The point that Jesus is making was this: Christianity is not about obeying good rules. Christianity is not about having a good lifestyle. Christianity is not about you setting down the 10 rules for yourself and trying to obey that. Christianity is about you being born again. You see, you are a body that has a soul, that has a spirit. And that spirit was dead to God. But when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that spirit became alive again. Now, I shared this message 2 years ago, okay? And that's actually what we're going to dive into this whole weekend. What does it mean to be born again in my spirit? Has anyone ever heard the term born again Christian? Yeah? This is where this term comes from. You are not just a person trying to follow God out there. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, that spirit that was dead to God inside you all of a sudden became alive. And that spirit has become a child of God. What does it mean to be a child of God? My son Levi is my child because he has my nature, has my DNA. Which means that as he grows up, he kind of looks like me. He kind of talks like me. It's not exactly the same. He kind of acts like me. And it's actually kind of freaky, to be honest with you, just like a little mini-me running around the house. Because he's born of me. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were born of God. Do you know what that means? You actually have in you right now the nature of God. I'm going to say it again. Right now, as you're sitting here, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have the nature of God. Your spirit looks like God. Your spirit wants the same things as God. This is why this is important, because there's people here right now in this group that have said to themselves that they're useless. God can never use me. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's actually a lie. You were a sinner, but now you've been born of God. You used to love sin, but now you have the nature of God that loves the thing that he does. And many of us haven't been taught how to operate from that spirit identity. You see, when Abraham looked at these stars in the sky, he saw blackness but light in the midst of that blackness. And in Philippians 2:20, it says that you guys are like stars in this dark generation. Just as Abraham saw these stars in a black backdrop, God sees you exactly the same way. He sees you as a spirit that's been born again to God. He sees you as righteous. You know, your spirit is bright and clothed with white cloth of righteousness. Did you know that you are actually right before God? Did you know that if you know how to walk by your spirit, you can have intimacy with God? Did you know that your spirit actually cries out to God, Abba, Father? Did you know that? This is the reason why most of us find it really hard to connect with God, is because we're trying to connect with God up here. We're trying to connect with God. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, if someone gives me an intellectual sermon, then I'll be like, okay, I think I've connected with God. But it doesn't last, does it? Or if someone tries to get my emotions up and tries to get it all hyped up, and it feels like that you're connecting with God, but as soon as you go back to school or university or work on Monday, it's like all disappeared. And you ask yourself, God, where are you? The reason why is because we're trying to connect with God through our mind, will, and emotions. But God is saying this, and this is what I want to tell you guys here. You have been created as a new creation who loves God in his spirit. And if you learn how to live out of this place of your new creation, this spirit that cries, Abba, Father, you'll be able to connect with God much deeper than you ever have before. How many people want that? See, when I first became a Christian, I didn't know that Romans 8 said that my spirit cries out, Abba, Father. So I was trying through my own energy to try to reach to God. And it was so hard. It was so hard to get in connection with God, because I felt like, have you guys ever had this experience, right? You're on your way home and you say, when I get home, I'm going to spend like an hour with God. Put worship music on, read the Bible. You know, I'm just gonna spend time with God and soak with God. But as soon as you go into the house, you're like, oh, I'll just watch 5 minutes of TV. That's it. Then I'll go read my Bible, spend time with God and worship Him. That 5 minutes turns into half an hour, which then turns into 4 hours, and I'm on YouTube looking at two gorillas fighting and you know, race cars and all that kind of stuff. And then at the end of the night, I'm like, what actually happened? I wanted to spend time with God, but I couldn't make it happen. This is a life of trying to have a relationship with God through your own energy. And I just want to tell you something, right? God's telling you right now and throughout the whole weekend, and we're going to explore this stuff, right? We're going to go deep into it. You cannot connect with God through your own energy. That's what the scripture calls the flesh. You cannot connect with God with that, because as soon as you try to connect with God with that, it's almost like there's this law that tries to drag you away from God. And your Christian life looks like this, right? You're hot for God, then you're cold. You're hot for God, then you're cold. You're hot for God, then you're cold. But if you learn the secret of living out of your true identity, this spirit that's become alive, then you can become as close to God as you want. Because your spirit already doesn't have to try to connect with God. It cries out, Abba, Father. When you get this and you live out of your spirit, and you learn how to connect with God and talk to God and pray to God out of your spirit, this new creation, that loneliness thing starts to get cured. This is God's biblical wisdom for the problems that we have in the world. I mean, you can put a minister in Victoria, you can put a minister in UK, but as long as people are estranged from God, have not been born again, and don't know how to connect with God through their spirit and the Holy Spirit, there's always going to be loneliness. Intimacy with God and connection with God and knowing who you are in your identity is the number one need that I see for young people at the moment. It is absolutely the number one need. And let me tell you something. When you start exploring who you are in your spirit person, which is your true identity, you will never want to be like anyone else but you ever again. Might call are we calling the band up pretty soon? I just want to finish off with this. God made a promise to Abraham 4,000 years ago that he was going to give him children out of many nations. It's not children born with a certain ethnicity or a nationality. It's people who have been born of a new spirit. Jeremiah says that in the new covenant, he's going to take a heart of stone and put it in a heart of flesh. Now, you may have been taught that you need to really, with your own energy, press into God with flesh, but I'm trying to teach you here, you can actually connect with God vitally within your spirit. When we worship with God, allow yourself and the Holy Spirit to rise up in you and allow God to connect with you. He wants to tell you these things. He wants to tell you things this weekend about your identity, about your calling, about your purpose. But we must connect with Him in the way that He wants to be connected. Scripture says that God is spirit and He's seeking worshippers in spirit and truth. How many want to connect with Him this weekend? Let's stand up. Let's praise God. I'm just going to pray before I finish. Father God, we just thank You that You made a promise to Abraham 4,000 years ago. And that 4,000 years ago, You said that You were going to have children. And those who have put their faith in You tonight, Lord God, they are truly Your children. I pray that You give us a revelation that our spirit cries out, Abba, Father. And as we go throughout this weekend, Lord, I just pray that we can go deeper and deeper and know how to walk in the Spirit, how to walk in their new creation, how to connect with You, Lord God, how to have intimacy with You, and how to love each other from that deep place. It says in the Scriptures, Lord God, that You've put the love of God in our hearts. You've shed abroad the love of God in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And I pray that today, Lord, that people can feel that in their soul. I pray that people can feel that within themselves, the love of God, Lord God. And I pray, Father God, that You have words for people this weekend and that You'll show them that You truly are their Father. In Your precious name we pray. Amen.